Help me. There we go. All set. I'm preaching. I got to tell you this, first of all, before I get going. Thank you to the Strowmans. I'm preaching from my preaching Bible that is newly bound. My family had to steal it away from me. I thought I'd lost it, and now the prodigal returned. It's great. I'm just so excited I get to preach from this morning. Anyway, enough about that. Let's see what's happening today. Chris, can you run the video, please?
You're invited to Summer Jam, a music festival in Kinsman Park, June 27th from 1 p.m. till dusk, featuring the music of the Jeff Green Band, Luann Akins, His and Hers, and more. Summer Jam, June 27th. Presented by First Baptist Church, Prince Albert.
And thank you to Joe Bexon. We got that beautiful ad running on the TV. Are you excited about Summer Jam? I'm excited about Summer Jam. I tell you, Larry Krause and Timberline are also joining today, and as well as Keith Kitchen. So you will not want to miss any part of this afternoon. I mean, try and gauge yourself accordingly. It starts at 1. I stopped by this morning at about 9:30, and there was a crew already there setting stuff up and making sure everything's ready, and so bless them, and people praying for the weather. And you know what? The weather's going to be great. I mean, we know that. And the other thing that I noticed is people were already coming, waiting for 1 o'clock. Okay? We also heard a group came along who are having, they decided to have their staff picnic at the park while Summer Jam is going on. So it's going to be a good day. Amen? I'm excited. So I tell you, if you feel like you can't make it out, it will also be broadcast live streaming on our website. And we also have a Summer Jam website, which is thesummerjam.ca, right? Okay, I got that right. So, and you want to check that out. But I encourage you not to go to your computer unless you have a laptop. Bring it to the park. And then you can sit there and watch it live stream. I'm excited about today. Well, we've been talking about being busy over these past few weeks. And today we're going to wrap things up by looking at how you can be joyful and busy at the same time. You can enjoy being busy. Did you know that? You can actually enjoy it. But you're going to find out and discover that you can enjoy being busy with the right things. All right? And I'm going to start by sharing one of my favorite golf stories. Even if you heard it before, it bears repeating. It's one of my favorite. It's in regard to the Reverend Francis Norton. He woke up on a Sunday morning, and it was a beautiful, sunny, gorgeous summer day, and he decided, I ain't going to preach. I'm going to play golf today. And so he we'll see y'all later. I tee off at, no. So he called his associate pastor, and he said, I don't think I can preach today. Are you sick? I'm just asking you if you'll preach for me. Because he didn't want to lie. And so as soon as he got off the phone from talking to the associate, Pastor Norton headed out of town to a golf course, and he decided he's going to go 40 miles away to Big River. And this way he knew he wouldn't accidentally meet somebody from his church who was also playing golf, and then he'd have to try and figure things out. So setting up on the first tee, he was alone. Because, I mean, after all, it was Sunday morning, everybody's in church. Unless you're setting up for Summer Jam, you know. Then. And about this time, St. Peter leaned over to the Lord, looking down from heaven, and he said, you're not going to let Reverend Norton get away with this, are you? The Lord's just kind of, oh, I'm just so disappointed. No, I guess not. And just then, Pastor Norton hit the ball, and it shot straight towards the pin, dropping just short of it, and it rolled up, fell in the hole. Hit a hole-in-one. 420-yard hole-in-one. I can't even run that fast. and Saint that far. Saint Peter was astonished, and he looked at the Lord, and he said, "What? Why'd you let him do that?" The Lord smiled and said, "Who's he going to tell?" Are you busy with the right things? Because nothing brings you more joy than being busy with the right things. Hebrews chapter 12 is our passage today, and I invite you to turn there. I get to turn there. I'm so excited. A Bible, preaching Bible. Just a minute, I'm off center. Oh, well, that's okay. I'm imbalanced anyway. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Busyness becomes joyful by removing everything that obstructs the true joy in our life. This is what the scripture is getting at. It's a very powerful portion of scripture. The Hebrews were struggling in their faith. They felt defeated. They were despondent. They were busy doing the wrong things. And their eyes were no longer on the author of their faith. They had lost hope. Have you ever been there? So busy, going here and there, trying to get it all done, entangled in everything else, but the true joy, God himself. So the writer calls the Hebrews, get rid of all that stuff that is hindering you from having any kind of joy. You think of it this way. An athlete in training tones the body to run better. Stripping away all that is excess in order to run better and win the race. That's what a runner does, an athlete. We as believers, I think we need to shed a few of those non-spiritual pounds in order to better our walk with the Lord. There's some things that you don't need to do that you're doing. There are some people in your life that just drag you down that you may need to just say, "Hey, I gotta figure this out a little better. I need to be more effective in my use of time, and I need to restore the joy in my life." But I will tell you this, that the enemy will do everything to get us out of shape spiritually so that we don't run the race that well in our faith. We need to get busy removing the stuff that hinders our relationship with God. I'm tripping over stuff. It's okay if I fall and go that way. You people lean this way. Sorry. You see, if you want joy and you want it abundantly, then love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. Love people so desperately that you'll bear fruit, which we've talked about over this past time, that you will bring others to the glory of God. I love what 1 Timothy, I invite you to turn just over a few passages back to 1 Timothy. It's right in here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Because I wondered what it meant, the cloud of witnesses. Look at this, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith." It's a fight, it's a battle. "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." There's something to be said about good confession. There's something to be said when people say to you, "I don't understand why you're so happy all the time. What's wrong with you? How come you're always smiling? How come you're always excited? How come you're always jubilant? What's going on in your life? I want what you got." That's good confession. Not that you have to be happy and smiling all the time. Maybe you can grumpy and still love the Lord, but I tell you, it's so much funner to do with a smile. I'm grumpy today, you know? I tell you, when we stand before the Lord, He's not going to ask you, He's not going to say, hey, what kind of ministry did you have? He's going to say, who did you bring with you? How did you manage your family? How did you do well? We just had a baby dedication today. These parents, they're great, great parents. They're a great couple. They want nothing more than nurture their children in the ways of the Lord. When they get reach heaven, those are the questions that God's going to ask. How were you busy? Were you busy doing what I asked you to do? Were you busy bearing fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. The Hebrews were losing faith. They needed some practical application for their everyday living. This is as much for us today as it was for them then. Remove those thoughts. Remove those things that just seem to swerve you away from God instead of serving God. Throw off everything that hinders you. That may even be, it's going to startle you, but that may even be a ministry you have. You may be so in love with a ministry or with a program or with a preacher that it hinders you in your joy. Jesus promised joy. He said, your joy will be full. I give it to you abundantly. Overflowing. But maybe sometimes our life is so busy, it prevents us from producing the fruit that Jesus said would bring you great joy. Great joy. Say, I want great joy. You can say it better than that. I know there's enough of you. I want great joy. I'm going to live with purpose. I'm going to live with passion. Oh, man. I'm going to live with passion. I'm going to live with purpose. It's hot. I got to be out there at 1 o'clock. You know. I tell you, when we walk through discipline, when God disciplines us, it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. In fact, it seems painful. But later on, you see, look at Hebrews 12, verse 11. I love this. 12, verse 11. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by. Later on comes the victory. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross because he knew victory cometh. You can think of several moments where you just thought you were doomed. But then, victory. 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 Victorious is that person who knows how to make stepping stones out of stumbling stones. As each stone is placed on a pathway to the top, it either becomes a help or it becomes a hindrance, depending on how we handle it. Climb on top of each stone. And there's some stones that we just need to step on it and say, I'm not gonna have that in my life anymore. That's a stone. It's a stumbling stone. And I'm gonna use this to go to victory. I'm gonna remove it. Stand above your discouragement. Share with others the great cloud of witnesses, the good confession. Share how you've walked through your problem. Walk through with God. You become a witness to the power of God. Love that. You know, I've discovered I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want people to come along. I want them to meet Jesus. Because he's the one who delivered me. He's the one who sustains me. He's the one who protects me. He fills me with peace. He grants me comfort. He shelters me. He gives me great joy. Why would I not want everybody to have what I've got? Why would I not bear fruit? Why would I not use the authority I have in Jesus? That's why Summer Jam, once a year, comes around. And it's very simple because it's a great event for you to invite somebody along and say, hey, I got an empty lawn chair. Come along with me. We're going to go to Summer Jam. Because I'll tell you, Summer Jam is a time where you can use this for the glory of God. You can. You can say, hey, do you want to come with me? I'm going to this concert in the park. I'm going there this afternoon. You want to join me? I tell you, they will hear a message about the glory of God. This is for you. They will receive joy today if they want it. This is such a great passage. But how can we keep running the race when the hurdles get higher and higher, and it just seems that Satan keeps putting more and more and more on us? Well, to have joyful busyness, we've got to remove everything that obstructs true joy. But we also need a relationship with God that needs to be first. See, fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Maybe this morning you feel like you're going to quit. You want more than anything else just to give up. You think it's easier than carrying on. This passage is for you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you have a mountain that you just can't climb. You're stumbling along the way and you're figuring, how can I do this? Or maybe you're going around the same mountain time and time and time and time again. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you're at this river with no boat or no bridge and you don't know, how am I going to get across this? How am I going to ever get through this? I tell you, I can't even wade through water. I can't even swim. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you're so discouraged, so despondent, wondering when will I ever get my breakthrough? When will I ever have joy? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I love the way the Message Bible puts this verse, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could have put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Adrenaline. Maybe this morning you're looking for some adrenaline. I need a shot, Dev. I'll meet you at the door after with a few doctors to help you. No. You need something to keep you going, not just a shot. You need strength. You need confidence. It can't come from a book. It can't come from some program. It can't come from some person. It can't come from some speech. It can only come from the source, and that only source is required. The source that's found in here. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I'm spitting a lot. Sorry, front row will provide towels later. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Say, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing better than that. It's what keeps you going. It's what we're created to do. If you want joy, get busy in your relationship with God. To know that what our Lord went through did so with joy. To know that God the Father has such deep love for humankind that he would send his one and only Son to live among us, to suffer more extremity than we do, to receive greater persecution than we will ever receive, to die horrifically, that we cannot even understand. May we never forget the same Father who gifted us with such a gift, loves, cares so deeply about us, that he grants us refuge, security, and joy to continue through this journey we call life. He's our Father. He's our Lord. Got to put him first. I'll tell you, if you've got a strong personality, there's no way you're going to be nice to people if you don't spend time with God. Just ain't going to happen. Because every day you got to beg the Holy Spirit for self-control because you can't do it by yourself. Now some of us, we tend to be more passive, maybe a little more lazy. Well, you ain't ever going to do nothing if you don't spend time with God. Because you just plain don't feel like it. And if you're going to go beyond your feelings, you better spend time with God. Then there are those who are easygoing. They just don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to ruffle people's feathers. You got to go along with whatever, you know. Your house can be burning down. that people go, man, look at that big fire. And you can go, oh, no, there's a bigger fire over there. I mean, but your house, and you no, it's a bigger fire I saw yesterday at the other, you know. You got to spend time with God so that you get enough guts to confront what you need to confront in your life. Spend time with God. If we ever have any hope of joy in our life, we got to spend time with the giver of joy. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Always remember that, what Jesus went through. I want you to flip back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at this. Philippians chapter 3. If you say no to something else and say yes to God, things will change dramatically in your life. You won't be frustrated. You won't be empty. You won't be unfulfilled. Philippians chapter 3. Let's see here. Verse 10. It's Apostle Paul. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. See, the Apostle Paul, he basically said, I'm determined to be like Jesus. I'm determined to be like Jesus. I'm determined to have victory over my circumstances. I'm determined to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who with joy looked to the cross. The Apostle Paul said, while I'm in this body, I'm going to live. I'm going to really live. I'm going to enjoy life. I can live above all the junk that the world gives me. I don't have to fall apart when somebody judges me and criticizes me. I don't have to fall apart if somebody rejects me and doesn't want me to be part of their group. I don't have to get afraid when the devil comes against me because I know that God is on my side. That's having the kind of relationship with God you need. The Apostle Paul said, I'm determined to know him and the power. If you don't know him, you don't know the power. If you don't know him, you don't know the power. A lot of people, they want to know the power, but they don't want to know him. You need to know God if you want the power. They want God to deliver them from a circumstance, but they don't want to take time to get to know him. The Apostle Paul said, my determined purpose, what I want to do, the decision I'm making, I'm determined, I'm purposing that I will know him. Not about him, not through my preacher, but I will know him and the power that flows from his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul bore more fruit, as he got to know the Savior. You don't need to go out search for ways in which you can develop fruit. You just need to stay connected to Christ, the vine, and you will produce fruit. You don't need to go figure out your schedule and sit down and say, okay, now I'm really busy. I'm kind of swamped. I can't get through this. You just need to spend time with the one who will look after your schedule and give you the endurance to walk through what you need to walk through. It may not be the way you thought it would be, but you'll feel joyful doing it. Psalm 16:11 says, and it's on the front of your bulletin, in your presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence is fullness of joy. So how can I enjoy God and not enjoy my life? You can't. But I need to have that connection, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have one, then you can have one before today is over. You can. I'm not talking about a religious relationship where I march off to church once or twice a week and fulfill my duty. I'm saying you can have a personal relationship with the one true joy in this life, and that's Jesus Christ, who went to the cross with great joy and paid the price for your sin. He shed his blood on the cross for all of you, your bad stuff, and all you need to do is believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what he said he did. You need to believe that in your heart. You need to confess it with your mouth. That's what the Hebrews discovered that day. The great cloud of witnesses. Let go of what's hindering you in your relationship with God. the giver of true joy. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I mean, one thing for sure, a lot of Christians are living a miserable life because they don't have time to be with Christ. They don't have time to spend praying. They don't have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to come to church. They don't have time to spend with other hurting people. But we have time to talk about other people. We have time to go shop so that maybe we'll feel better. We have time to sit and complain about what everybody else should be doing. But it's time to get busy in a joyful way by taking time and spending it with the Savior. I think if you ever sat in a room for an hour and you said, you know, God, I don't have a clue what to do, but I'm just going to stay here with you. Maybe even 10 minutes. I know God would honor that. Because I believe you need to spend time with the giver of joy. And when you spend time with him, you'll want others to know about him. You want others to get to know him. So that when they look at your face and they see what's going on, and you can say, yeah, I'm having a bad day, but you know, I still know Jesus. I still know him. And it's okay, I'm walking through this tough time. Maybe for you it is going golfing instead of preaching. I don't know. Maybe that's the time you need to be with the Savior. Just make sure you remove those things that are causing you to be taken away from the greatest joy in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. May you know him. May you be in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, maybe as we walk through this series, maybe you've had a tough time because maybe you're busy. Maybe now you understand it's time to get busy with the right things. Time to get rid of those things. Maybe you need to spend some time and say, I've got to get rid of that stuff that's just clouding me. And I want to be a part of the cloud of witnesses who confess that great joy in my life. Maybe for you, it's producing fruit. Maybe you got to start asking somebody, hey, do you want to come to church? Hey, do you want to come to Summer Jam? Hey, I love you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're coming to God today and you're saying, God, I want this. I want to start reevaluating my time. Get rid of that stuff that hinders me from my relationship with you. Just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. God sees them. Maybe today, for the first time, you've heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your bad stuff so that you could live eternal life with him in heaven. You never realized that before, that love, that joy that was there, that he can give that to you. And maybe today, maybe you've heard, like somebody said, you need Jesus, but now today you've understood, I need him. I really need him in my life. I need a better life. And I know I need Jesus. And maybe you need to say to him today, I just need you, Jesus. I need to be a Christian. I've never done this before, but I need you. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're saying, for the first time, I need you, Jesus. I need you in my life. Clean up all that bad stuff. I want heaven. I need you. Just lift your head. Keep your eyes closed, but just lift your head. If you're saying that, Lord bless you. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, this morning, we've come. We've talked over this time about time. Past few weeks. And Lord, we're moving into a whole new direction. You asked for it, looking at questions that we've come up with and things that people have just stirred in our hearts as staff. Lord, but we know that time is of the essence. We don't want to go to heaven alone. We want, Lord, to produce fruit. We want to take authority. Because we have dominion. Lord, may we just remove, even as a church, all those things that are preventing us from being obedient to you. All those things that get in the way of bettering our relationship with you, God. May we just remove them so that we would have that relationship with the true giver of joy, Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray. Amen.